Thank you so much, Miriam, for reading that word. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the invitation. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God great? Isn't He just the perfect God in your life? He is in my life. There's no one like Him. Miriam and I love and adore Him. It was through Him that we came together, and I praise God every day for this partnership which we have. But let's get back to the reading. I wonder if you, looking through the scriptures, come across that word, the first word that Miriam read. And the first word that Miriam read was now. Now. The Lord has a great, great treasure in this word now, because He brings everything into the present with the word now. You see, it was now when we came in through the door. It was now when Ronnie began to sing and play and lead us in worship. It was now when we had communion together. And wasn't that wonderful to share the bread and to share the wine and to come closer together in the love of Christ? Isn't that great? It's now when I began to speak. It was now, but now was now. And now was now. You can't escape now. It's now is without time. Now, Jesus brings what He was preaching and what He was teaching into this room this afternoon. Now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. But we always go directly to the woman who was bent over. I want to stay a while and ask you, well, what was He teaching? Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. What was He teaching? Do you want to know? Shall I tell you what He was teaching? Okay. He was teaching kingdom living. He was teaching the anointing. He was teaching the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? You're not going to be poor anymore. What's good news to the sick? You're going to be healed. You're not going to be sick anymore. What's good news to the lonely? You're going to be friended. What's good news to the down at heart? You're going to be lifted up. All this teaching from Jesus. Oh, don't you wish you were there? Hallelujah. I want to be in that synagogue. I want to be there right now when Jesus was teaching the word. A wonderful teacher, a wonderful preacher, a wonderful Lord. Now He was teaching. I don't know if you go into the Old Testament very much. I love it. From Genesis right through to Malachi. Fabulous, fabulous episodes. Wonderful, wonderful experiences. Right from the time of the Garden of Eden, right from the time where He prepared everything for mankind. Are you there? Picture it. That most beautiful of environments. And in it, He placed a man. And out of the man, He formed a woman. And the two of them were together in a perfect, perfect world. That's what God wanted for you and me. A perfect, perfect world. No clouds in the sky. Sunshine all the way. Flowers popping up. The wheat was lush and ripe. Everything was right for them in which to live. Outside the Garden of Eden was a different story, but God didn't want them outside the Garden of Eden just yet. No, no, He planted it for mankind. He wanted Adam and Eve to enjoy that environment. He put them in charge. And He said, all this is yours, except that tree. You see that tree there? Except that tree. You can look at that tree, but you don't touch that tree. You can look at that tree, but you don't pluck fruit from that tree, because that tree is mine. It's a bit like tithing, isn't it? That's mine, says God. That's mine. Into that beautiful, beautiful environment, Satan raised his head. Did God really say, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die? Did he really say that? You know, when people put thoughts into your mind, did he really say that? Did he really mean that? And Eve was very attracted to the fruit on the tree. So she took of the fruit of the tree. And she bit into it. And she said to Adam, do you want a bite? And he took a bite. As soon as they disobeyed, the glory and the honor left them. He had blessed them with his glory. He had blessed them with his honor. They were having a lovely, lovely time. He says, when you get used to this environment, what I want you to do is to go out there and cause another Garden of Eden. I want you to multiply this environment. I want you to multiply this atmosphere so the whole world would be living in that blessing. Can you see it? But both of them died spiritually. No glory, no honor. They died spiritually. They were there in the flesh. But they weren't living the way God wanted them to live. They died spiritually. And then, to cut a long story short, every now and then, God would raise up a man to try and get the people to follow him. Every now and then. Look through the Old Testament. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets, to no avail. Because everyone was living in sin. There was no honor, there was no glory. They were disobedient people all of the time. God, when he was looking at them, wanted to wipe them out. But of course he didn't. But what he did do was to send a Savior. He sent Jesus into the world. God in flesh came into this world. Now don't forget, the world was without. The world was without him. The world was without God. And into that atmosphere, into that environment, came Jesus. With his 3.5 years of ministry, you look it down through the four Gospels and you narrow that ministry down, there's only 27 months of his ministry written. Did you realize that? 27 months of the ministry of Jesus Christ is compiled in the four Gospels. And in 27 months he saved the world. How many have you saved in your lifetime? Makes you think. Doesn't it? When Jesus came, he says, the devil, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus had brought life into the world so that the world could live the way God wanted them to live. I am come. For too long, he said, you've been following Satan, who only steals, kills, and destroys. There is no altering in that person. That's all he does. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. And that's what he's been doing. But I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that he's given you and he's given me. And thank you, Lord, that we're living in that abundance. Praise God. Abundant life. If only the world recognized right now what life was like with Christ. What life is like with the Anointed One and His anointing. It's a life that I never want to part with. It's a life I want to keep on living and living and living and living and living. And that's the life that Jesus promised me. Life in abundance with Him. Shall I tell you something? There's no bad day. There's no bad day in Jesus. There's no bad day in Jesus. Every one of us, born again. Every one of us, blood washed. Every one of us, spirit filled. And anyone who is in Christ is a what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new. The new. We are a new creation. We are a unique creation. We are recreated in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And there he was, teaching all of this in the synagogue. Another word that I love in the Bible is the word behold. In many translations of the Bible, many modern translations, you will just see a three-lettered word, see, and see, there is, and see, there was, and see, there is. But in the New King James, it says, and behold. Oh, that word behold holds a bag full of treasure. Because that word behold means that he wants to see as you've never seen before. He wants you to look like you've never looked before. He wants you to see what he sees. And what he sees is what we should be seeing. Because we are in Christ. And we are a new creation. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. She had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. Now what does that mean to you? This spirit of infirmity. The Bible doesn't say that she had been ill for 18 years. The Bible doesn't say that she had been diseased for 18 years. No, the Bible says, the Word of God says, the living Word of God says, the living Word of truth tells us that she had a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of infirmity within her for 18 years, and no one and nothing had been done about it. It started with a little stoop. The spirit had got inside of her, made home inside of her, made its home there, and was determined to bring her down. And started with a little stoop. Well, that was all right, because she could still move her head, she could still see. Still see you. And it got a bit stooper. The stoop got stooper. So much so, after 18 years, this lady's bent double. Can you imagine walking your life bent double? Because now she can't look up. And now she recognized people by their feet. She recognized people by the sound of their voice. And she'd been coming to the synagogue for 18 years. And nothing had been done about it. People say they didn't believe in healing. Oh, this rabbi believed in healing. This leader in the synagogue believed in healing. She could in no way raise herself up. But then Jesus saw her. That's another word. So you see, we've been in the now, which we are. Behold, he wants to see like you've never seen before. And now, Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. He saw her from her beginning to her end. He saw her and everything about her. He looked at her and he saw a woman in need. And what did he say? He called her to him. So this woman came to Jesus bent. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Come here, Miriam. You're bent. I didn't mean she was bent. I mean she's bent double. Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. He laid his hands upon her, and straight away she rose up. Immediately, she was made straight and glorified God. How did she glorify God? Well, I'm straight. I'm straightened. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? The spirit of infirmity has left me. Isn't it great? I'm glorifying God. It wasn't, oh, thank you, Lord. It wasn't a little whimper. For 18 years, she'd been doubled up. For 18 years, she'd been knocked from pillar to post. From 18 years. But now she's straight. Now she's upright. Now she's thinking new clothes. Now she's thinking new wardrobe. Now she's thinking new shoes. Now she's thinking I'll go out and get a man. Now! Praise God! Can you understand the excitement? Can you? Wonderful. Wonderful. Glorifying God. Glorifying God not only then, but in everything she did from that point on, she would be glorifying God. Because everywhere she went from that point on, she was straight. Because before she was double. Doubled up, but now she's straight. How did you get straight? Says her neighbor. How did you get straight? Says the man in the street. How did you get straightened up and straightened out? And she would tell her testimony. And every time she told her testimony, she was praising God and glorifying God in all that he had done for her. Wow. What about our testimony? Who straightened you up in your life and in my life? No, it wasn't Miriam. It was God who straightened me out. But he used Miriam as his instrument. It was me who was bent double. It was me who couldn't care about God and didn't care about Jesus. It was me who her mother said, I don't want him in this house. I tried. Ron, I tried to get in that house. And she threw the scrubbing brush at me. Am I right? Don't want you, get out. I'm going up the garden path and the scrubbing brush hit me in the back. My future mother-in-law did that to me. I've still got the bruise. Do you want to see the bruise? No, he straightened me out. He straightened you out. He straightened us out. He brought us up into a realization that we couldn't live life without him. He brought us up to look at Jesus the Savior, who said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And oh, how we embrace that life and how we embrace the abundance of that life and how wonderful it is to stand here today and speak about him and preach about him and teach about him. How wonderful it is. But the ruler, have you noticed when you're enjoying yourself, there's always someone who ruins the party. always someone who says some detrimental word. And there's another word I want you to look at. Because immediately she was made straight and glorified God, but there's a hesitation there. In other words, you can't go on glorifying when you've got a party pooper in your presence. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, all these religious people. Oh, we don't do that now at church. Oh, no, oh, we don't do that now at church. Or dance in the aisle. Oh, no, we don't do that now at church. Raise your hands. Oh, we don't do that now at church. How do they glorify God? Amen. He answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And this ruler of the synagogue said to the crowd. Now he wanted the crowd on his side. He wanted the crowd on his side. So he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. So he knew about healing. But he didn't say to the woman who was bent double, you come on the Monday or the Sunday or the Tuesday or the Wednesday or the Thursday or the Friday or the Saturday. Oh, don't come on a Saturday, that's a Sabbath. You can come any day but the Sabbath. You can come any day, see me, and we pray for your healing. It's like people today say, oh, I'll see the pastor about that. Why do you see the pastor about it? Oh, well, you know the pastor will pray for you. What about you praying? What about us praying? Why does everything have to go to the elder or the pastor? Didn't God put the Holy Spirit in you the same as the pastor? Didn't he? Isn't that same power in you that's in the pastor? Isn't that same authority in you that's in the pastor? Aren't you filled with that Holy Spirit? Aren't you filled with His glory? Aren't you filled with the Anointed One and His anointing? Aren't you? Of course you are. So what's to stop you from praying for a woman who's bent double or a man who wants help? We can do that. We can lay our hands on them. We can ask permission and we can pray. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I tell you, arise. Isn't that what Peter and John said to the man at the gate? Two blokes. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Two men who had followed Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. There are 6 days in which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day. They'd missed out on 5,616 days. In those 18 years, they had 5,616 opportunities to heal this lady. But they missed out. Then the Lord answered him, hypocrite. Oh, he's playing to the crowd. And Jesus interrupts him and calls him a hypocrite in front of the crowd. Wow. How to bring a person down in one fell swoop, hypocrite. Does not one teach that on the Sabbath you loose his ox and donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? What did he mean by that? Well, you see, she was living in the Abrahamic covenant. She was a daughter of Abraham. She was living in Abraham's blessing. She should not have been bent double. If she had been obedient to God, if the people had been obedient to God, they were all living in the Abrahamic covenant, but they didn't know it because they're far, far, far away from God. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, Think of it, Jesus says. Think of it. For 18 years, shouldn't she, a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Because in this synagogue, greater than Abraham is here. In this synagogue, greater than Moses is here. In this synagogue, greater than Jeremiah is here. In this synagogue, greater than Ezekiel is here. Jesus Christ is here. Think of it. He's in this room this afternoon. So shouldn't we, in the new covenant, born again, blood washed, spirit filled, shouldn't we be healed? Shouldn't we be set straight? Shouldn't we be bold? When he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You see, my friends, it started off with a congregation. Then it went to a crowd. And now we're talking about a multitude. We're talking about an uncountable number. Because not only were they in the synagogue, they were outside the synagogue. They would be standing, they would be sitting, but most of all, they would be listening to what Jesus had to say. And all that happened in that synagogue is not written down for us, but we get the impression from the reading that more and more wonderful things in the name of Jesus happened in that synagogue on that wonderful, wonderful day. The multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him in the now. Not only was that woman healed, but so was that man. And so was that man. And so was that lady. And so was that child. Many glorious, wonderful things were done by Jesus. He certainly stirred them up, did he not? He stirred them up. Now, I don't know if you know this, but everywhere Jesus went on his ministry, a multitude followed him everywhere. Wasn't just the 12 disciples and him. There was the 12 disciples and a multitude. Everywhere. Everywhere. And you look through the Gospels and you'll see that time after time after time, Jesus had to draw apart. He had to go to a quiet place to build himself up through the power of the Holy Spirit. He had to take time out to pray, to top himself up with the power that God had placed in him, with the authority that God had given him. What was it like when he would go into a synagogue? I tell you this, it was like no other atmosphere on earth. What's it like when you come in here on a Sunday? It should be like no other atmosphere on earth, because we should be coming believing and expectant, knowing that God is with us. Knowing that we come in through the threshold, over the threshold, into this room, knowing that we're coming into a holy place, a place which is set apart for a Sunday afternoon worship and praise and preaching. A Sunday afternoon set apart for healing. A Sunday afternoon set apart for rejoicing. A Sunday afternoon set apart for being straightened out. A Sunday afternoon set apart so that we can breathe in the Holy Spirit, so that we can take in His love, take in His news that He has for us. And what's the news that He has for us? Well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done, you child of the living God. We come together in his name, and in his name we worship, and in his name we praise, and in his name we take part in the communion of the bread and the wine, the flesh and the blood. In his name, never forget his name. Never forget the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark. He says, what I want you to do, I want you to go out there. I want you to go out in different places and in my name. And in my name, I want you to lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. And in my name, I want you to get rid of the devil and his demons in my name. In my name, there may be some poisonous attitude from different people in your life. But take no notice, because those poisonous words will not affect you, will not harm you. And just take my name into people's lives. We came into this room this afternoon. We don't know how God was going to work, but we know that God is a miraculous God and always, always works in his miraculous way. Now I got a word from God that there is someone in here came in with a shoulder that was aching and sore. But I know that God has already taken that pain away. That person couldn't raise their arm very high, but I know now if that person tries to raise his or her arm high, they will be able to do that. But I'm not going to ask who it was. You know. You know. You know. We praise God for his miraculous word. We praise God for his miraculous son. We praise God who said, listen, it's to your advantage that I go. And I pray the Father that he will send another, the Comforter, the Parakletos, the one who sticks closer than a brother, that Holy Spirit will come and just flood the world. And of course, it started in the upper room. And in that upper room, something like flames of fire came and sat on every one of them. And a big roar, as if it was a mighty wind, filled the house. And Peter, standing with the 11, began to preach. And from his word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people came to know the Lord that day. 3,000 people. There's a large room next door. There's probably more than 3,000 people on this estate. That room's going to be used in a mighty way. People are searching. People are wanting to know more and more and more about Jesus. Keep those doors open. Keep your prayers being prayed for the people in this community. And within 12 months, you will be amazed at how many converts you bring in to this place. Father, we love you, we worship you, we adore you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here this afternoon. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for entering into the lives of each one here, encouraging us and enabling us to do what you want us to do, to live the life you want us to live. Glory be to your name, Lord. Thank you for the miracle of now. Thank you for the miracle of behold. Thank you, Lord, that we can see through the eyes of Jesus. and speak words of assurance with boldness as we want more and more people to come in to this, their church. Father, help them to be part of this church. Lift up the leaders. Lift up the regular members of this church. Fill them, Lord. Fill them with boldness. Let them march into your inner sanctum. Let them march into the throne room, Lord. And let them be bold when they speak to you. Oh, Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you, Ron, for the worship time. Thank you for the blessing that God has placed upon you and your family. Thank you, brother, for administering the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to us this afternoon. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, John, for being the leaders that God wants you to be. May your work be filled with joy. May your work be filled with the happiness. May your work be filled with gladness. May there never be a dull day for you in your life, in Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
Give God a hand. Thank you.